Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? It is the Third Man In Radio here on blogtalkradio.com/the Third Man In. And I'm Chris Block, writer. It's been a long day, superstar. Writer, editor, and guy at thethirdmanin.com/blogchatter.com. And it is Wednesday, January 11th, 2012, 8:01 here in Chicago. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club there in the background. You like the new background music, Superstar?
I do.
It is the Superstar, and we are back again. How was your week?
The week, man.
You have the house to yourself. You're coming up this next weekend. How's that feel?
It's going to feel awkward at first. But not the whole week or whole weekend, just till midday Saturday. But Rock, when you never get the house to yourself, Wednesday night to like Saturday night, that's like an eternity. You know, immediately I'm thinking of the mass chaos that I could produce in the next few days.
But you still got to go to work.
Yeah, I still got to go to work. That's not that much
chaos.
Yeah. Friday.
All right, everybody. We're going to talk about for the next hour or so. We're going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, Rockford Ice Hogs. I had an opportunity to go to the happiest place on earth this morning, the Allstate Arena, and watch a little 11 a.m. hockey, Ice Hogs and the Chicago Wolves. A little school field trip. Can you imagine? Like, why didn't they have that back in the day when we were little runts running around? School field trip to a hockey game.
And that would be great. And, you know, normally, even when you had a cool field trip that you, like, look forward to, you know, I mean, I think all kids look forward to all field trips because they're not in school. So, I mean, but, you know, even if you had one, you know, if you're an animal person, you enjoy the zoo, you know, they still gave you this bullshit, you know, worksheet you had to do. You know, it wasn't all fun and games. You actually, like, had to answer some questions. Like, what did they make them do at the hockey game? You know, what number is the Wolves mascot skates?
I think the only thing that these kids had to do was about every 5 minutes, the Jumbotron said, make some noise, and then all these little kids started screaming.
See, you're in hell at Allstate Arena anyways. And so to be surrounded by all those kids and Wolves fans, you must have just been in hell.
Constant screaming all morning long. Constant screaming, and it just wasn't watching the Ice Hogs play hockey either. It was these little Wolves fans.
That would have been just absolutely miserable.
We are going to talk about the Blackhawks. Victor Stahlberg's favorite team, the Columbus Blue Jackets, have left town, but that doesn't mean that he can stop playing hockey. Minnesota Wild come to town on Thursday night. Ray Emery getting the start.
Yeah, it should be a good one. You know, the Hawks falling a little bit, but still amongst the leaders, and Minnesota dropping off a little bit as well. So, you know, these teams faced off a little over a month ago, I believe, and it was the top two teams in the West. Now both teams dropping the standings a little bit, but still another good test for these Hawks. See if they can continue to build on the win versus Columbus.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's only 5 points behind the Blackhawks right now. They play the same number of games, so 5 points isn't a whole hell of a lot, but you're right. It was basically a month ago, almost tonight, that game happened. Ray Emery was in goal for that shootout victory. Of course, that was the Patrick Kane shootout goal. But that night, that was the battle for the number one spot in the Western Conference. Currently, the Blackhawks are sitting in fourth, but that's because St. Louis has overtaken them by percentage points in the Central Division. And Minnesota's in seventh with 50 points. So a little bit different look to this game, but I don't know. No Patrick Sharp, obviously. That's the big news of the week, 3-4 weeks with an apparent broken bone in his hand. So he's going to let that heal. And in the meantime, you get a look at Jimmy Hayes, Andrew Shaw, Ben Smith, possibly even Jeremy Morin, who picked up 2 goals today in the 4-2 loss to the Chicago Wolves. One of those guys, though, isn't going to be around because Marcus Kruger looks like he's going to be playing by the weekend. So I would expect that would be – I don't know what I should say expect because Andrew Shaw can play the wing too, but I would think it'd be Andrew Shaw, but we'll see.
Black, you touched on the Patrick Sharp injury, and I'm sure we're going to dig into it a little bit more. But watching the Columbus game, and obviously with no Patrick Sharp, the one thing that kind of struck me, and obviously Patrick Sharp is a great player and a guy you can't afford to have out of the lineup for any extended period of time. But with the Hawks struggling, do you think that missing him in a way helps the Blackhawks simplify their offense, simplify their game, getting back to basics, and maybe that'll help them turn this around?
Getting back to basics is in – I think they do have to simplify when they bring the kids up, even though Rockford's basically playing the same type of systems. Penalty kill, power play. I mean, the Ice Hogs D, and one of the issues with the Ice Hogs is that their D are – encouraged to jump up into the rush, pinch, you know, read plays and pinch, and sometimes that comes back to haunt them because their D down there. Well, their D is solid. I think their D is a little underrated, and I know that sounds ridiculous. I mean, they're the worst defense in the league, but, you know, statistically, allowed the most goals anyhow. But I think they're probably just being asked to play a system that's just not – right for them, but they're emulating what the Blackhawks do. But what my point is, Rockford's playing the same system, so when those guys come up, it's by design that they'll step right in and it'll be more comfortable for them. I think that the Blackhawks will simplify things a little bit, but that's more because these kids are going to be sprinkled on all these different lines. You know, Jimmy Hayes up with, although I think we saw already, Jimmy Hayes, I'll say this, Jimmy Hayes is, I shouldn't say shocked, but I thought what we're seeing from Jimmy Hayes now, or at least up to the Columbus game, I expected to see this eventually out of him in the NHL level. I really did, just watching him in Rockford, because there's two things that he does very well. He protects the puck very well, and he has good hands. So with those two things, with that body, and the fact that he's worked so hard on his skating since the beginning of the year, since where he was at in training camp. I expected to see this out of him eventually. I'm shocked that we're getting it now. But the success that we saw him have was on the fourth line. I think as he moves up and he's matched up against better players, I think we already saw it a little bit on Tuesday night, that he's not as quick, you know, as those other guys, and he's falling behind the pace. But we'll see how it continues to go. Maybe he can make those adjustments on the fly. We'll see, but... I think when you sprinkle those guys around on these different lines, yes, I do think it has to be simplified a little bit more. But we'll see. You know, so far, Ben Smith was okay. He got the goal. That goal should have never gone in. Curtis Sanford whiffed on that puck. That should have never gone in. The backhander that Ben Smith scored the other night. But, so far so good with all those guys. And it's great to see that happen because we talked about before the season began, one of the biggest keys for the Blackhawks this year is that when they do have injuries, that their young players had to come up and contribute, not just skate, not just occupy a spot, in the rotation for a week or so. They had to come up and they had to contribute. They had to score. They couldn't be out of place. One of the things that, it's one of the aspects the Blackhawks didn't have last year, but it was also their best guys. I mean, their best candidates to come up and do that last year were all rookies, and they just weren't ready to do that. Whereas this year you have Ben Smith is in his second year, Brandon Peary in his second year. Jimmy Hayes is a rookie, but obviously he's come up, he's played pretty well. Same thing with Andrew Shaw. These guys are coming up and at least to this point are contributing pretty well for you, but it's got to continue. And this is the time where you really need it because Patrick Sharp is out of the lineup and now you're missing that scoring. And it's not like you can ask Marian Hossa or Jonathan Toews to do that much more. It's got to come from somewhere else. It's a good start on Tuesday night that you get the night from Victor Stahlberg that you did. And all jokes about his scoring prowess against Columbus aside, he's got to do it more than, one night every 3 weeks. And, so that's something that you got to take into account. It's got to come from somewhere else. And if it's not going to come from Pro League, which it's just not going to come from, if it's not going to come from Bickle, at least on a consistent basis, then you have to look to these young guys. It may be unfair, but they have to contribute. If you're going to be atop the conference, you have to contribute. You have to look no further than the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins decimated with injuries, and what do? It's team effort. It's being able to call guys up, and they contribute, and they're not out of place. And that's, here it is. This is what we talked about. We've been waiting for this year. It's time for these kids to come up, and as they've done so far, is to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder, obviously, with all the call-ups, and obviously every team deals with injuries, but I think one of the things you have to look at, too, is the injuries that happened down in Rockford. Where could this team have been, or how much different would the call-ups look if there was a healthy Kyle Beach?
You bring up an interesting name, Superstar, and I don't want to get off track, but last week, okay, we did a show last week, and we did some New Year's resolutions. I caught some flack because, we were supposed to do all these New Year's resolutions, and I think I did one or two, and maybe you did one. So I left out some New Year's resolutions, right? But we're going to talk about those later, but one of the New Year's resolutions, Superstar, that I had was that I was going to – in 2012, I was going to work towards a generally sunnier demeanor, right?
Disposition, I believe, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to be a happier.
Okay, here's the thing, all right? I don't want to name names because I don't want to do that because I'm working on my sunny disposition, all right? But here's the thing, okay? I don't know where it came from or why all of a sudden this became something that, became a topic today on things like Twitter. But Kyle Beach has been out of the lineup. You bring up his name. Kyle Beach has been out of the lineup since October 28th, I believe, 27th, 28th. Busted his right shoulder dislocated, and he's done. I mean, I got the update today from Blackhawks officials that their target right now is late March, but the word that I got, the term that was used with me was hopefully. Okay, so and the Ice Hawks season is going to end 2 weeks after late March. I believe April 14th is the last day of the season this year. So you're looking at Kyle Beach working towards playing the final 2 weeks of the season because as of today, the Ice Hogs, let me take out my trusty AHL standings here. As of today, Ice Hogs are 13-21-3. That's 30 points in 37 games. That would mean, all right, now there's four less games in the AHL schedule. Last year there was 80. This year there's 76. And the playoff formatting is different this year. It emulates the NHL, whereas there's three divisions, and the division winners get the top three spots, and then the rest go based on the number of points you have. Well, if you just look at the standings at the way they are right now for the AHL Western Conference, Ice Hogs are sitting with 30 points. They're going to need at least 80, okay? We're more than halfway through the season, and they've got 30, okay? So, I mean, they basically got to win 24 out of their last 39, and they've got to lose, like, five in the extra point sessions. So I don't know how realistic that is. So you're really looking at April 14th and done. So Kyle Beach is working towards getting back to these last 2 weeks of the season. But he's been out. The point is that he's been out. And all of a sudden today, there just became, because, you know, the easy thing to do is talk about these young kids, Jimmy Hayes, Andrew Shaw, and these other guys that are coming up and playing well, or at least contributing in limited form so far, and that's great. But at the same time, it was an opportunity for some people, I guess, to take a shot at Kyle Beach. Now, listen, okay, I know a thing or two about taking cheap shots, don't I, Superstar?
You definitely do.
I definitely know. Okay, but I have a problem with taking a cheap shot at a guy who's out with an injury. He can't do anything right now. He can't get on the ice. He can't skate. He can't, you know, if you're someone that, and Twitter's really good for this, is making declarative statements based on nothing, okay? If you're someone who likes to do that, that's fine. But don't do it to a guy that is not in a position to prove you right or wrong right now. I just disagree with it. Listen, there's nobody, I don't think there's anybody on the planet that has been as critical of Kyle Beach as I have. And I've had to stand across from him and tell him that and have him react to it, okay? I think that Kyle Beach is an interesting prospect still because he has that ability to score goals. The things that he was working on last year were his skating, it was his defense, and it was an issue about getting Kyle to work harder on his strength and conditioning. Now, all I've heard is that Kyle had a really good off season, and if you look at the way he played in October, that assertion would be backed up by the way he played on the ice in October. He gets in a fight with Stefan Delarivière in Peoria, and his, you know, it looks like his season could be over. I just have a problem. The guy had one NHL season, or one AHL season, one pro season. And if you look at the other guys that were in their first pro seasons last year, Ben Smith, Brandon Peary, Kyle Beach, those guys, I mean, they weren't ready to come up in the NHL and contribute last year either. Ben Smith was at the end, but those other guys weren't. And then you look at Kyle Beach now. I mean, who's to say if Beach hadn't got that injury that he would have gotten the call-up instead of Jimmy Hayes and done just as well? You don't know. So to make a – I mean, declarative statements are best reserved for morons. And, you know, if you have an opinion about something, state your opinion and back it up with some sort of a fact. But don't make a declarative statement about a guy who – can't do. I mean, he can't play. I just disagree. I think it's unfair. And I'm a lot of things, but I think I'm pretty fair. I mean, some people would probably disagree with that, but you know what I'm saying, Superstar? It's like,
I agree.
Again, I don't want to get in a fight with anybody. And it's not just one person. A lot of people have this thought. And it's, you know, if you just want to make declarative statements so in a year or 2 years you could say, I was the first one to say this, because there's 10,000 people on Twitter that want to do that. But, you know, that's fine. But don't take shots at the guy when he can't even play.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I didn't mean to, you know, if I came off like I would say you shot at him. That's not what I was trying to do. I was just saying, with as much weight as the Hawks, as the pro team has put onto the Rockford IceHogs, and the needing of guys from down there, you just wonder, you know, if he would have been exactly the guy that would have come up, contributed, even maybe contributed more than some of these guys have already. You know, or he falls back and, you know, they still don't think he's ready and we're at exactly where we are today. But, you know, it's an interesting thing when you're talking about a top prospect when you have all these other guys that are being called up, you know, almost a woulda, coulda, shoulda sort of scenario.
It's all prospect development and getting, you know, advancement in hockey. Listen, from Bantams, from when you're a 13, 14-year-old kid, it's all about circumstances and opportunity. If Kyle Beach doesn't get hurt, okay, if Kyle Beach doesn't get hurt, and, like, let's look at what happened in Rockford. The season starts, and Clint Hammer has a great first weekend. We'll talk about Clint Hammer here in a minute. Clint Hammer has a great first weekend of the season. And everybody's talking to me like, the IceHogs are going to be great this year. They're going to be great this year. Okay, all right, well, we'll see. But then Clint Hammer doesn't score for another month, right? Doesn't get a point for another month. So Clint Hammer falls off the map. At the end of October, Beach gets hurt. All right, what happened there? Before those two things happened, Jimmy Hayes was on the fourth line. Jimmy Hayes was a healthy scratch at times. Andrew Shaw was on the fourth line. Guys like Byron Fraze, I mean, they were in and out of the lineup. Rob Flick was in Toledo. You know, Gilbert was in Toledo. I mean, there's a lot of thing, a lot of moving parts here that moved Jimmy Hayes up into a better position to succeed. Andrew Shaw got the opportunity to go skate with Brandon Peary, which he probably would not have gotten had Beach not gotten injured. So there's a lot of things that happened here, a lot of dominoes that fall, and Beach was a part of that. So to say that, you know, oh, well, all these guys got called up and Beach has never been considered for a spot, it's like, well, no, he wasn't considered for a spot last year, and there was a really good reason for it. He didn't deserve it. Point taken. But to say that, you know, to declare him today a bust based on what? What, you know, because he didn't get called up in his rookie season? How long did it take Corey Crawford to make it? And
forever.
How many people called Corey Crawford a bust? There were people. There were people. And you could say, oh, well, Corey Crawford wasn't a first-round draft pick. I don't care. Corey Crawford for years was looked at by many people who knew what they were talking about, to be the guy that was going to come up into Chicago and at least earn a backup spot. And year after year after year, he didn't do it. And then look what happened. He was basically handed the spot. And Marty Turco was brought in, and Marty Turco was Marty Turco, and you knew how that was going to turn out. And then Corey Crawford took the spot and never looked back. You know, so...
We talked about it last year, and even the year before, going back to Niemi. You wanted one of those guys to step up and take that spot, and, you know, he got beat out then.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, I don't want to, it's something that gets said a lot, and it got said again today on Twitter, and it got pointed to me, and it's just like, settle down. I want to switch topics. So we got these New Year's resolutions, right, that we did, you know, we kind of did, we didn't do. Remember those?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh, by the way, because I was working it out today when I was watching the Rockford IceHogs play, I was trying to figure out exactly what kind of role that they'd have to get on to get into the playoffs. The exact number that I came up with was 24-10-2-3.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Because the second half of their season is riddled with the Chicago Wolves, who they can't beat, Milwaukee, who they actually play very well against, but Milwaukee's one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And it's starting off here with a lot of road activity. So I don't know. All you really want to see is improvement, individual to individual. One of those guys that's kind of getting better every game, it seems like, is Philip Parody. He's a long way away. Don't take that as somebody that's going to get called up. But Philip Parody he could mold himself into a nice little role player for the Blackhawks someday. But that's a guy. And Ted Dent actually singled out specifically just the past couple of games, guys that he liked, Rob Flick, Byron Fraze. So, yeah, and those aren't guys that are going to get called up, but that's what you're looking for, I think, for the rest of the season, guys that are going to get called up and play. You just want to see some improvement. I think that's what they're looking for the rest of the season. It's definitely been frustrating because the effort's there and they've been in games. They're just not – I said this before. They're not quick enough. They're not skilled enough. They really got killed. I was talking to somebody today. They really got killed in the beginning of the season, the Ice Hogs, because, you know, half their team are rookies. And first-year pros, they have a lot of adjustments to make. And guys like Brandon Siegel, Brett McClain, Rob Klinkhammer, and I don't think it'd be fair to put Jeremy Morin after what he went through into that mix. But, I mean, specifically the veterans like Klinkhammer, Siegel, and McClain, they really needed to rely on those guys heavily early on, and it didn't work out. Much the same as it didn't work out last year with Ryan Peltuni, Jeff Tape. Jeff Tape was amazing in the second half. In the first month and a half of the season or so, he was just kind of a guy. And that's the same thing that's been happening with McClain and Siegel this year. They're veterans as much as, you know, not being able to keep the puck out of that has been what's really hurt them the most. So one of the New Year's resolutions that I left out, in 2012, I plan on doing a, get this superstar, a live remote.
Oh, no. Oh, this show?
I know. That's the reaction that I expected. But, yes, of this show.
Hey, man, it's your show. I don't know if I'm going to be on that show, but...
You can be on the show. I want to make sure that you're drinking, though.
Well, I mean, if we're doing a remote, I can't see why I wouldn't be.
I don't want to do this show from. Well, maybe we'll have to see. Maybe we'll do it from that river debacle that we did Radio Exposed from last year.
That was a debacle.
We'd have to do this show first because we do have to be somewhat coherent for.
Yeah,
Radio Exposed encourages incoherent talk.
Right.
Yeah, this one,
plenty of that.
We told a lie. I want to tell you a story about my dog real quick. And this does have a Blackhawk tie-in for people that complain that Superstar and I don't talk enough hockey. You know my dog, right, Superstar?
Yes, I know your dog quite well.
My dog, for everybody listening, his name is Rutu. And he was named after, no, not former Blackhawk, Christian Rutu. He was named after former Blackhawk first-round draft pick, Tuomo Rutu. And the reason for that, he's my little puppy dog. He's when I got him, he was no bigger than my fist. And you people listening right now can't see my fist, but my fist is rather large. So, it's still, for a dog, that's small, right?
Yeah, he was a tiny, tiny dog.
He was a tiny, tiny dog, and the reason for that was he was a two-month-old Maltese poodle. Okay. And I know, you know. So he was just a little guy. But when I brought him home and we took him out of the cage, the reason why he got his name was because he immediately got out and he started taking runs at the cats. But what would happen was he'd dart right for the cats, and he'd jump into them, and then he'd just bounce right off. And I immediately go, this is going to be Tuomo Arutu right here. So that's how he became known as Rutu. He's my little baby boy. He just turned two a month ago. So right now this is what I want to talk about. It's not just true for human babies. It's true for puppy dogs. We are inside now the Terrible Twos superstar.
Oh, what's he doing?
Well, I just want to tell you the story. So last week, it was actually the day before we did this show. I couldn't do this show at the Third Man in Home Studios because the day before, right when I came home from work, Rutu for Christmas got a present. He got a lot of presents. But for Christmas, he got these squeaky balls. Now, these are like kind of... You know, you could grip them with your like the palm of your hand, but they're that real high pitched squeaky. You know.
Oh, those things are so annoying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, this is one of Rutu's Christmas presents. So, I get home and he's jumping around. He's going crazy, and I'm like, hey, you know. And I was looking for something else. You know, I was looking for something, and I found one of his Christmas presents that he opened, but he just wasn't that interested at the time. And so I want one of these balls, and I take out the ball, and I give him the ball, and this is the mistake that I made. I just gotten home, and, you know, when I get home, he's got to go outside and do his business. So I give him this ball, and he's you know, this is the greatest thing, this brand-new ball. But we go outside. I take him outside, and he doesn't do his business. He's not interested in it at all, is what I'm saying. He wants to know where that ball is. So we're standing outside for like 15 minutes. He refuses to do his business. He's just looking at me. So we go back inside, and we proceed to play with this ball for an hour. I go into the kitchen to wash dishes, and I just hear crying and crying and crying. And I'm like, what is going on? And I go look. He's crying because he wants to play with the ball. But he can't figure out how to pick up the ball because it's a big ball, and he's got a little tiny mouth, right? So he's crying because he can't figure out how to pick up the ball. Finally, we kind of figure it out together because that's what I'm here for. And,
you are a solutions provider.
Yes, I am. I am here to there's really no other reason for me to be around other than to meet his demands. And he has a lot of demands. And I try to meet every one of his demands. But so we figured that out together. So I'm like, great, I can go wash dishes. So I'm in the kitchen washing dishes, and all of a sudden I hear crying, then growling, then crying and growling. What the hell is going on? So I go and I look, and sure enough, the moose, which was my cat, Moose, is sitting too close to Rutu. This is upsetting Rutu because Moose is getting too close to the ball. Now, what Moose is going to do with this ball, I don't know. But Rutu is very much concerned. But this superstar, this has gone on all week long. He doesn't care about anything else but this ball. We used to play with his, you know, he used to pick up his, his little stuffed animal babies and carry them around. He had other balls that we would play with. He doesn't care about anything but this ball. The ball doesn't go, you know, it's always with him. And of course, if the ball is always with him, that means that the ball is always near me because he doesn't let me out of his sight ever. When we go to bed, he comes into the bed with the ball and then cries because I'm trying to fall asleep, and he wants to play with the ball.
Yeah, that's an important ball.
I wake up in the morning, and when I take a shower and then I go to put my shoes on, this is something that's been going on for a long time. Rutu he loves his daddy, right? And he puts his balls in my shoes. Which is a lot cuter than when you used to do that, Superstar.
If we had a producer, I'd be like, cut that right now. He just wants to make sure that you know he's there. He just wants to be loved.
Oh, he gets plenty of love. He is an overloved puppy, some might say. But yeah, I am again tonight not doing the show from the Third Man In home studios because of the ball.
I was back to the original New Year's resolution of your remote. Like if I come and I do a show from the Third Man In home studio, can that be considered a remote?
No, because we've already done that.
Just thinking of ways out of this, man.
All right, you said to me earlier today, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you said to me earlier today that you had stuff. Do you have stuff, or is that...
I have stuff, and it was more observations from more of the Columbus game.
This should be great, because it gives me an opportunity to drink some coffee.
You drink your coffee. And here's one, and I think it's something that's going to need to be addressed, whether you like him or you hate him. Corey Crawford is just a bad goalie. His angles are off constantly. He loses his net. The rebounds that he gives up on a nightly basis are just they're too juicy to be at this level. And how he keeps getting – I don't know what happened. I really don't. But it seems like he fights everything. His angles are off. He's always lunging and reaching and instead of – letting the puck come to him. You see it all the time. You say, God, these guys are shooting it into that goalie's chest constantly. Well, that's because the goalie's playing his angles right and he's where he's supposed to be. Making those stops looks easy because he's where he's supposed to be. Corey Crawford never seems to be where he's supposed to be. He's always off. He's lunging and he's got to go. I'm sorry.
He's got to go.
He doesn't have to go far. He just needs to go and sit down every time the Blackhawks play.
Thanks a lot, Corey, but you've got to go.
You've got to go. He doesn't have to go far. I mean, we don't need to, you know, Chris Paul, Hugh Wayne, the Switzerland, but I just don't ever want to see him play again. I just don't. I like Corey. Corey, put your baseball hat on. And come sit down next to John Scott on the bench. I would be a much happier man if that were to happen every night.
I should drink coffee on this show more often. So you're in favor of Ray Emery then, all the way. Let's go.
I am. Let's ride him. He's whether you want to
believe
or not.
I think there's a good chance of that eventually happening, but you don't want to wait.
No. He's been your by far your most consistent goalie throughout the year. Corey was great. Everyone loves Corey. Every time, I believe there was one game, and I can't remember off the top of my head, that Emery had a bad one. Other than that, he's kept you in the game every game this year he's played.
Well, he started six games in a row, and he played pretty well in those six games. I don't know. I'd like to see Ray Emery for me to jump over to your side of things, to put my balls in your shoes. I'd have to see Ray Emery play another six games in a row. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I think there's a really good chance of Emery eventually being the guy. But I don't see the problem this year is I don't think there's that much of a difference. Of what we've seen of Emery, I don't think there's that much difference in Emery and Crawford, and I think that that's what's going to be the frustrating thing this year. This isn't Huey and Niemi. This isn't Crawford and Turco. This is more like Hobby Boulin and Huey, and you know, sort of compare previous situations, and that. Neither of them are spectacular, but they're both good enough to – you're a good enough team. What I'm trying to say is you're a good enough team that you're not going to be losing games strictly because of your goaltender. And I think that either of them, based on what we've seen of Emery so far, I think you could say that with both guys in net. It's just you want to, based off of what you saw Crawford last year, you want him, you feel a lot more comfortable if he, you got him back to that spot. It's just that, like we talked about before the year, psychologically, this is a much different situation for Crawford in that he came in being the guy. It's a different pressure. You know, I mean, there's expectations of him this year. And you could say that there were expectations of him in the playoffs, but, I mean, were there really? The Blackhawks were an 8 seed. They snuck into the playoffs. They lose the first 3 games. No one expects anything from them from that point. I mean, were there really a lot of expectations? This year there are expectations of Crawford, and, you know, these are the results so far. I don't know. I give him more time. I'm not as hasty as you, but.
Well.
But that's why you're the first.
That's right. He's got to go.
What'd you think of Victor Stahlberg's game the other night?
Well, you know, as a Victor Stahlberg guy, I loved it. No, I think Stahlberg, I mean, for what he is, I just wish he was more consistent. And by that, I don't mean come out and score hat tricks, you know, every night. Obviously, we know that's not going to happen. But I just wish he was more of a consistent goal scorer. I mean, he's got 12 now, and they're halfway through the year. I just wish that total was, even if it was up to 17, you know, I wish he was that guy. I want him to be that guy. He's not.
Well, you know, before Tuesday night, Stahlberg was basically on a 20-goal pace. When, you know, and you're looking at a guy that floats between your fourth line, which, when you're healthy, that's a place that he could wind up. Especially or specifically after you make whatever improvements to the team that Stan Bowman is expected to make. Okay? He'll probably, or maybe quite possibly, I should say, end up back on that fourth line. So for a guy who floats between the fourth line and a scoring line when he gets a hot hand, 20 goals over a season is pretty damn good. Now he's on pace after last night. You know, again, it'll probably fall back to somewhere in between these two. But now he's on pace for 24, 25 goals. And that's a damn good season. I don't know what more people would want from Victor Stahlberg. He's a +4. You know, his speed is always going to be a factor. If, you know, he's been engaged. He's been physical at times. He's been better defensively. You know, I don't know if you throw the term unsung hero around on him, but I don't look at, you know, when I look at guys that I want producing more, I need more out of, that would be, I mean, Andrew Burnett is Andrew Burnett, and if you look at Dave Bolin's stats over the last 3 seasons, Dave Bolin is exactly where he's been every year at this point. This is what Dave Bolin is, okay? So, I mean, for people that are crying for more out of Dave Bolin, forget about it. This is what he is. We've talked about this. We've been over it, you know, 3 years in a row now. This is what Dave Bolin is. He's a damn fine third-line center. And if he's healthy enough, once you get into the playoffs, he's going to be a key component of your team in playoff hockey. But as far as what you get out of him offensively and the consistency or the lack of, this is what he is. Although it doesn't help him that he's got Brian Bickell and Frolik on his wings for most of the season. I mean, you want more out of Frolik, but you're not going to get it. A year ago, when Frolik was brought to Chicago, 11 months ago, right? When Frolik was brought to Chicago, where was he on the Florida Panthers? He was on the fourth line, right? Up until 2 games ago, where was Frolik on the Chicago Blackhawks? He's on the fourth line, okay? So, I mean, for all that was said, we'll bring him into Chicago and he'll be in our system, and Taves and Kane and Keith, and Coach Q, they'll bring out the most in this guy. This guy is a cement head, not in the traditional sense, but there's nothing going on up there as far as offensively. So you can't really get anything more out of him. Bickle is a 13th forward, and that's what Bickle is. And I think that's what he's going to be at the end of the year, too. I don't know how you trade a guy with – I mean, you could. I mean, it all depends on what somebody's going to offer you. Or if there's a GM out there when you're trying to make a deal for a Francois Beauchemin or a Derek Roy, somebody like that, Jeff Schultz with Washington. If there's a GM out there that's, that you're trying to throw a second rounder at and Sean Lalonde in there, and they say, well, we'll do that deal if you throw in Brian Bickle, well, then, yeah, Brian Bickle will probably go. But you're not – I don't see how you're moving Bickle based on he can score if he commits himself physically going to the net and, playing the type of hockey that he's capable of every other game at least. He's a valuable 13th forward. And a guy that can come in when you got injuries and help produce for it. I don't see he's got another year left on that basically a minimum contract. Blackhawks were very intelligent. Sam Bowman, you said at the time, that was a brilliant deal that Sam Bowman pulled off, and it was peculiar from Bickle's side, and from his perspective, in that the only thing it guaranteed Brian Bickle, the only reason why it made any sense for Bickle was that if he got sent down to the AHL, he'd make NHL money. So, I mean, it was almost like Bickle and his agent didn't have the confidence that he'd make the NHL. And in that sense, if he hadn't, it would be a great deal for him. And I know people are saying, oh, send Bickle down to the minors. It's like, well, I mean, is Bickle that much different than Andrew Shaw or Ben Smith? No, he's not. What did you think? I don't want to go too long tonight. I know that a lot of people had some thoughts on it. I wrote about Dan Carcillo and the Committed Indian on Sunday night. What did you think about that?
We talked about it, when it happened with the comments of Pat and Eddie, and I thought the piece was great, and I couldn't second what you wrote any more than I could. As great as the piece was, and I love that you hit on the Pat and Eddie stuff, because those two guys are almost, I almost can't even listen to the games anymore.
I'll let the listeners own this. I'm sitting there watching the first period, and a lot of times I don't watch. I know a lot of people ask, like, why don't you tweet during games? Now, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I hate Twitter, okay? But I'm working on my sunny disposition, but that's the first problem. Second of all, I don't watch games live typically. It's like kind of staggered. I'll get home just in time to, especially these road, I'm at the United Center for the home games. So the road games, I'm like pausing the game, and then I go do something else for an hour, and then I come back and watch the game. And I got done watching that first period, and I texted you, Superstar, and I go, I'd like to thank Pat and Eddie for writing my column for me on Sunday night. Because, for the people that hadn't read it, if you go to the thirdmanin.com, or you can also type in puckchatter.com and go there, in the Committed Indian section that you'll see on the top of the page. If you go there, there's a link to it. You can view it and read it there if you'd like. Basically, the point of, or what, incited this column out of me, because it wasn't what I was planning on writing about, was Pat and Eddie on the Flyers broadcast taking up 5 minutes of the first period. Flyers Blackhawks, two of the best teams in all of the world, and they take 5 minutes out of the first period to basically throw a pity party for Daniel Carcillo and talk about how great he's been and a huge, you know, a huge factor on the team so far. And it was just all a bunch of crap. And, you know, I think Eddie's thing and Foley's thing is that the Blackhawks players sitting on the bench next to Daniel Carcillo, when you got Carcillo on your bench, you get a little bit bigger. You get a little bit tougher when a guy like that. And my thing is, we just watched for the last month Daniel Carcillo going out on the ice and trying to injure his opponents. How exactly does that make anybody on the Blackhawks bench more secure? When if he succeeds, he's out of there. And then who's the, you know, if this is just natural, if you've ever played the game, or if you don't even need to play the game, because I hate when people say that. Just think about it. Think about somebody walking up, coming over to your house, and, you know, and punching out your buddy. You're just going to let that guy walk away without getting some sort of retribution? I mean, it's probably a bad, you know.
Are you kidding me? If someone came over to my house and punched you out, I'd pay him.
Well, that's a different situation.
Well, your point is taken. Yeah, there's consequences for your actions, and
Carcillo's going to run around trying to hurt other people, and he's not going to be around to fight his own battles. So who has to fight his battles? His teammates. And Carcillo's not a guy that's skating around minding his own business and playing the game and waiting for a situation where he has to stand up for Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews and say, hey, don't do this. At the beginning of the season, there were instances that he did that. But the point that we've always made is that once Carcillo gets comfortable, that all those old tendencies, all that bad Carcillo was going to come out again, and it did. And it was only going to get worse. And the point I made last week and the point I made in the Indian column is this was the best thing that can happen. With apologies to Carcillo's knee, because I don't know him, and he's probably a nice guy. But on the ice for the Blackhawks, this is the best thing that could happen for everybody involved, except for Carcillo, of course. But, you know, it's just like, how could you say that, you know, just based on the way that he's been playing the last 3 or 4 weeks that he was in the lineup, that that he makes his teammates, you know, bigger. It's Eddie Olczyk was on the broadcast, on that versus broadcast, that Minnesota game, the last time the Blackhawks played Minnesota, when Carcillo sat on the bench and waited for Colton Gillies to skate by the Hawks bench, and then he jumped out in front of Colton Gillies just trying to take him out. He wasn't trying to play the puck. He wasn't trying to be involved in the action. He was just trying to hurt a player. And is that Blackhawk hockey? Is that what you want to see? That, you know, I thought Blackhawks fans hated St. Louis Blues hockey. That's your guy. He's out there trying to hurt other players. I don't know how anybody could look at that hit that he laid on Tom Gilbert. And I know a lot of people have tried to defend it, and NHL officials tried to sugarcoat it because, you know, but that wasn't a 50-50 puck. Carcillo dumped that puck in, and he would have been to it first, but he didn't want to be to it first because he didn't want to get hit. So he let up, and then he lined Gilbert up, and he meant to do what he did. I don't think that he jumped the boards. At the beginning of the shift, thought, I'm going to get Tom Gilbert this shift. I don't think he thought that. But in that moment, in the speed of the game, in that moment, that was his thought. It was reckless. It was endangerment. And, you know, again, that's the best thing for the Blackhawks is, you get rid of that guy. However it happened, you got rid of that guy because it was only going to get worse. You lost one game. But, you know, what happens if that's in the first round in the swing game or in game four? You know, you're up 2-1 and it's in the third period and he pulls that bullshit. And then you've got to kill a five-minute power play, and it doesn't happen like 2010 where you kill it and then you go to overtime and Mariehosa scores in overtime. It doesn't happen like that. It turns around on you. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could believe it because it's Foley and Olczyk. And they think, even though Pat Foley has the tenure and Olczyk basically has the ability to do whatever he wants on that broadcast. I mean, they don't have to be like that, but they feel like they do. And it's insulting to a Blackhawks fan's, an intelligent Blackhawks fan's intelligence. There are a ton of fans out there that don't think Daniel Carcillo has ever done anything wrong because he's wearing a Blackhawks sweater now. And you know what? And that's a segment of the fandom. But for the people who know better to do that and just insult a wide segment of your audience intelligence, and they do it consistently. It's becoming difficult to have them on the broadcast.
You know what? And I'm almost glad it is because it gave me a chance to kind of go back to the radio broadcast and listen to it more consistently. And I forgot how good the radio's broadcast is now for the Blackhawks. And going back, I mean, if you remember back in the day, the Pat Foley, Dale Talon broadcast of the 80s and early 90s, I don't think anybody will be better than those. I mean, impartial because that's obviously what I grew up on. But this radio team right now is really good.
Yeah, what I've heard of them has been basically been limited to the United Center bathroom. But, I think John Weideman's a little too excitable at times, but, I don't know. I think going back to the 80s and the 90s with Foley and Talon, the one thing that you got from them, even though it was cheerleading at times. For fans that have the NHL package and they've sampled Jack Edwards' work with the Boston Bruins and they think that that's the ultimate in homerism. Foley and Talon were that in the 80s. That's what they were. And when things, Foley kind of backed off of that as he went along, especially after he lost Talon. But I'd rather have that than two guys that are just out to insult my intelligence or put one over on fans that don't know any better. I just think it's wrong. All right, let's real quick. We're going to do half season awards. I don't know. Let's start with the Blackhawks, see if we got any time left here. Blackhawks MVP, first half of the season. Who is it?
I don't think there's any doubt. That's Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Close second, obviously, would be Mariehosa. One thing that needs to happen now, and I don't want to let this guy off the hook. One thing that has to happen right now, we talk about the young kids having to contribute, wanting to see more out of guys like Frolik and Bickle and Stallberg. Patrick Kane has to start scoring.
Couldn't agree anymore.
That's got to happen. I mean, he's on pace right now for 18 or 19 goals.
Way too low. That should be double. Minimal.
I mean, Patrick Kane's a playmaker, and he's got 38 points, and that's an okay total, but he's still not a point a game. And I think he's pressing to score, and he's missing high and just outside the post a lot. He's pressing to score, but he's got to start scoring. And if he's not scoring, he's got to find a line mate that he likes setting up, and he's got – even if he only gets to 25 goals this year, I'm not gonna harp on him for only having 25 goals, but he has to set up more goals. He has to be responsible for creating more scores, more scoring chances, and more goals. That's what he has to do in the second half. He has to be better. Patrick Kane's capable of being better, and he has to be better. I think, you know, you want to make excuses or point to reasons why maybe that hasn't happened yet, or he struggled, you know, between bounce with between center and right wing and all that. Maybe all that's the case. He just has to be better in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you on Taves, though, as far as being the MVP, because night after night after night after night after night after night, he is the Hawks' best player or the second best player. And on the nights when he's not the best player, the second best or the first player is usually Hosa. But night after night after night, Taves is in the top, you know, he's in the top two or three there.
There's no doubt there. And I think he would be, even if he had lower scoring totals, with his intangibles, his defense, and he's leading the league in faceoff. So, yeah, without a doubt, he's got to be the Blackhawks MVP.
And it's a shame that Sharp got hurt when he did, because he was really, I think he was playing some of his best hockey. You know, sometimes still away from the puck, he gets kind of lost, but it's kind of a shame, because I think the way that he was going, had he been healthy all year, I think he would have challenged for 40. I don't know if Taves can stay healthy all year. That's my concern with Taves. I mean, I have to say this. Sunday night, I'm sitting in the United Center watching that game, and the one thing, and this wasn't just exclusive to Sunday night, because this is something that's been building with me. Watching Taves on the ice, I'm talking about on the ice, he has been incredibly whiny lately. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it. I don't know if that's just an accumulation of how banged up he is or what, but he's been extremely whiny on the ice. Everything is, you know, in his mind is, you know, he's arguing with the refs, his body language, he's upset about, you know, it's just shut up and play the game. Lead by example. Because that's the one thing that, you know, you hear these whispers from Blackhawks players about, you know, how, you know, it's not even serious. It's about how grumpy and how angry the guy is all the time. You know, that's, I mean, he's supposed to be leading by example. And, you know, just quit with the whiny stuff and just play the game. That's the one thing I'd say about him. Just an impression I get from just watching him on the ice. And I should say this. The Blackhawks, Saturday they didn't practice. Sunday morning they had a light skate with a few of their guys set out. Monday they didn't practice. Monday they had an optional. Tuesday morning, I think they had another optional, did they not?
I don't remember.
Well, and I know today they had another optional, so it's obvious. It's obvious right now that Joe Quenneville, because this is his job, his job is to know his team. It's obvious right now that either his team is banged up and he's trying to keep them off the ice as much as possible. Too tired, maybe those go hand in hand, or he's sensing that mentally mentally he needs to recuperate his team. Because it's just interesting that they've been off the ice and they've had as many optionals, and yeah, it's the midway point of the season and everything, but they're not really traveling a lot. They've got a lot of home games here, and I'll tell you something. In that first period against Columbus, the Blackhawks looked like a team. And, you know, again, we're halfway through the season, so maybe this sounds kind of funny. But in the first period, the Blackhawks looked like a team that hadn't practiced much lately. And I wonder what if that is something that's going to stick moving forward. Because you can get away with that against Columbus. And I think maybe even way the Wild are playing right now. Maybe get away with it against the Wild. but not against San Jose on Sunday night.
Definitely not against Detroit on Saturday.
Or Detroit on Saturday. Although Detroit, after that big comeback win on Sunday night, went to Nassau Coliseum last night and got blown out by Johnny Tavares and the boys.
And you know what, Block? You brought up a point that I wanted to hit, and it more goes to the struggles as of late. Look, you've had an absolute ton of home games in December and January. This is your time to do a lot of home cooking to build up some cushion and kind of assert yourself to what team you are going to be. Give yourself some leeway, because guess what? End of January comes, and it's a tough road trip that you're going on. So it's a little disappointing for them to be struggling on home ice as much as they have.
Yeah, and they got a lot more home ice here. Of course, just looking at the schedule now. Minnesota, of course, Thursday night, probably tonight by the time most people listen to this. Minnesota, Detroit, Saturday afternoon, back home on Sunday night for San Jose. A really interesting game against Buffalo next Wednesday night, a week from tonight as we record this. Buffalo right now sits in 11th in the Eastern Conference. They're not even a 500 hockey club right now. They give up a lot of goals. Ryan Miller hasn't been great this year, but Blackhawks have always had problems with Buffalo. And I expect that to be a fantastic game, followed by a pretty emotional game as it kind of lines up the Friday night on the 20th against Florida. Brian Campbell, Kopechki, Versteeg, John Madden now coming back to the United Center. So that's a pretty emotional game. And then the next night they're in Nashville, and that actually starts up the front end of a home-and-home with the Predators. So this is it's a pretty big stretch here of games that are tough games. And then, you know, after that and after the All-Star break starts at 3 weeks on the road, beginning in Vancouver. So a lot of home cooking, but, you know, you start off that first week the way they did with four losses. These aren't gimme points. Real quick, who's been the Hawks' best defenseman?
I think you got to give it to Seabrook. Overall, I think Jalmerson has been at times. He's just not consistent enough. I think Brent Seabrook by far has been the best defenseman.
Yeah, I agree with you on Taves. Duncan Keith's been coming around. I think the Blackhawks defense as a whole has been way too inconsistent to single out one guy. If I had to, I'd probably go with you and Seabrook. But I think, you know, you could take either Seabrook or Keith, and that would be fine with me. I wouldn't argue it. This is an interesting thing. I've seen so many people, you know, and my thing with Jalmerson is that I was hoping that he would improve and fit more, but become more of what the Blackhawks look out of a defenseman, as far as a guy who's more confident in the puck, moving the puck, taking a couple of steps and taking a look with the puck before he makes that first pass, and he's still not that, and that's discouraging. But aside from that, he's still a pretty damn good defenseman. He's not a first pair guy, but I see a lot of people are trying to put Jalmerson on the third pair, you know, saying, oh, he's a third pair guy. I mean, that's just dumb. Letty isn't helping Jalmerson out at all. If you're going to put a guy on the third pair from that Jalmerson-Letty pairing, for now, you know, Letty eventually is going to be in that you know, in Brian Campbell's old spot permanently. That's going to happen. But I think for now, we've talked about this before, I'd like to see Letty move down. Letty could play either side. He could play left or right. He played left a lot in Rockford before he got called up last year. So he could play left or right. He probably prefers the right side, but he could play either side. So he could play with Monitor down there. Or if you want to scratch Monitor and put O'Donnell, or, you know, if everybody gets influenza, you could put Sammy Lapisto in there. You know, I mean, you could do those things. I think, you know, I talked about it in the Indian, and I talked about it here, getting a guy like Francois Beauchemin, who is a heavy workload type defenseman, and putting him next to Jalmerson. To me, I'd love to see that, because that would be a defensive pairing that I could put up against another team's top line. At least, you know, I would try that out and see how that works for a few weeks, and give Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook more of an opportunity to be creative, and it's not that they're always over the boards when the Sedins come out, or, you know, pick a team in the top line. It's always Seabrook and Keith. I think if you bring Beauchemin in and put him on that second pair, you can lighten some of the important minutes defensively. You know, you can kind of spread it out a bit and give Keith and Seabrook more of an opportunity to boost the offense. And then on that third pair, let's just say it's Letty and Monitor, okay? Maybe by the end of the year it won't be that. But that third pair now becomes, you know, a little bit more explosive. You know, I think Letty against lesser competition, which is what that third pair is going to see, is that's a better matchup. And I'd like to see how that would look. I don't know, you know, as a coach, who knows what you would do? You know, maybe, you know, with Quenneville, you never know. But I would like to see how that would look. Of course, you got to acquire a guy like Beauchemin. But, you know, that's what I'd see. But I'm not dropping Jalmerson down to that third pair, because I need Jalmerson's minutes against quality forwards. You're not. What are you going to do? You're going to put it boggles my mind. People want to put Jalmerson on the third pair. Who's going to skate against Ryan Kesler? Nick Letty and Sean O'Donnell? Nick Letty and Dylan Olsen? I mean, come on. Know what you're looking at when you're watching a game. I know that, I'm disappointed that Jalmerson hasn't made these advancements in his game that you would like to see from him by now. But he's not a third-pair guy. He gives you hard minutes, and he's a tough kid who is sound defensively and plays a very strong game. And he can hang in there with the highly talented players. You're not putting him on the third pair. Get a clue. What was that about my sunny disposition?
Exactly.
Got any thoughts on the league at large, who the league MVP is right now?
I'm going to pass on that one.
Pass on that one? All right, I'm going to say, I don't know how you don't say that it's Claude Giroux at this stage. I mean, that's who I'd go with, Claude Giroux. Where would the Flyers be without that guy? You know, and they were without him for a week. And you could put Phil Kessel in there as well. And I know that we're talking about Eastern Conference teams. Not a lot of people see Eastern Conference teams. But Claude Giroux and Phil Kessel have just been dynamite all year long. But I'd go with Giroux. Watching him night in and night out, he's just, I don't know that there's a more fun guy to watch all over the ice than that kid. Best defenseman?
Oh, man. Who would you go with?
Give me a minute.
A lot of people are talking about Erik Karlsson in Ottawa, and I know a lot of people were mad that the Ottawa fans. This is like the Joker thing. Everybody's mad that the Ottawa fans voted in 4 Ottawa Senators players. Well, it wasn't like, you know, the voting was only open to Ottawa Senators fans. You're really mad that your guys didn't get in. It's like Erik Karlsson got in on the All-Star voting. He's currently, by a wide margin, he's got 41 points. He leads all defensemen in points. Brian Campbell's second. Karlsson's got 41, 6 goals, 41 points. Brian Campbell's got 3 goals, 33 points. Campbell, I believe, still leads all defensemen in power play points. I mean, Karlsson's right in there. I got to say, though, it's Zdeno Chara. If you watch the Bruins a lot, and I do, I mean, Chara is the guy. His workload's been lightened a little bit this year. I think his minutes are down about a minute and a half. But plus 27. When Chara's on the ice, he pretty much dominates. And so I'd go with Chara.
Yeah, I don't think you could argue with that at all.
I mean, I'm not giving it to Brian Campbell because as good as Brian Campbell's been in the first half, you know, he's still Brian Campbell. I mean, he's adequate in his own zone, but he's not like Weber. He's not like Chara. He's not even like Ryan Suter in his own zone. So it's like, Brian Campbell's been fantastic first half of the year, but I just don't think you could call him, you know, the first half, you know, Norris Trophy winner, right? You know, and there's no such thing, but hypothetically, you know, I just don't think you can go there. As great as Campbell's been this first half, and he's been terrific in Florida. You know, you want to single out, like, who's the MVP of Florida? I know some people would say Versteeg. No. If you watch Florida, it's Brian Campbell. But, you know, again, he's just okay in his own zone. And for me to pick a Norris Trophy winner, I don't know. He's got to be a little bit more than that. It'd be one thing, and this is a conversation we had last year about Dustin Byfuglien and scoring all, you know, Dustin Byfuglien scored all those goals, and, you know, and he was a huge factor in last year's Atlanta Thrashers, you know, having a, you know, such a big first half, and I put him in that if you remember back a year ago, I was putting him in that discussion, but you know, Campbell's a little bit different. Vezina, you know who the top goalies are, superstar.
You know, right now I think you got a few guys who would probably qualify. I think my choice would be probably Henrik Lundqvist out in New York.
That's a really good choice because Henrik Lundqvist saving 94% of the shots that he's faced, got a 1.85 goals against. He is the best player on the New York Rangers, so I don't disagree with that at all. Honorable mention, though, to Jimmy Howard. Jimmy Howard is the workhorse in the Red Wings, and they haven't been great this year. If you watch the Red Wings play, they've been very inconsistent. I mean, but Howard is always there keeping them in games. And you saw it on Sunday night at the United Center. The Blackhawks come out and score 2 quick goals. That thing could unravel very quickly. You know, we've seen that happen to Corey Crawford, and Corey Crawford this year unravel quickly. Jimmy Howard, it didn't happen with Jimmy Howard. Actually, that was Ty Conklin. But there have been other games. The game that I'm talking about is the night before, Toronto. Toronto comes out as gets on top of them in the first period. It was 3-0. And that thing didn't unravel for the Red Wings. He kept them in there, and they were able to come back and win. And well, they eventually lost it, but they got back into the game. They tied the game. So. And I guess that you're not picking Corey Crawford for your Blackhawks goaltender of the first half.
No. Absolutely not.
All right, so what are you looking forward to most in the week ahead as we wrap up here?
Besides the house to myself? I'd like them to come out and actually be more consistent. But one of the things I really want to watch for is I want to see them skate and play their game for a consistent 60 minutes.
That starts with the defenseman. That's an excellent point. That starts with the defenseman. It's not the defenseman alone, but, I mean, when the Blackhawks are playing great, they're moving as a unit. And that hasn't happened, especially in that four-game losing streak last week. That hasn't happened a lot of late. And what you see, when the Blackhawks are going to struggle, okay, the thing to look for is, where are the defensemen making their passes watch their body position and what direction they're moving, or if they're moving at all when they're passing the puck. And conjointly, where are the forwards and are they moving? Too many times this past week, the Blackhawks are just standing around. And it's defensemen standing still or hardly moving at all or moving backwards, skating to forwards that are standing still. And, you know, just what that does is it gives forecheckers the upper hand. Because if you've got a defenseman who's standing still and then looking to pass the puck, it takes away one of your options. And for the guys that are back, whether it be defensemen or, you know, the third forward back in the neutral zone, he can make a read on a pass, and then it becomes a one-on-one battle with the intended target. And if the intended target is just sitting there waiting for the puck, he's going to lose that one-on-one battle damn near every time. And that's – so your point is excellent, because that's what they need to do. The defensemen need to take – it's like we talked with Johnson. He needs to take – a couple of steps before he makes that first pass, because it'll hopefully draw a defender to him, and he'll be moving forward while that forechecker is skating by him or having to twirl back around. And if you're skating forward to forwards that are moving forward, you've got momentum through the neutral zone. Too often the Blackhawks just don't have momentum through the neutral zone, or it gets passed to somebody who tries to escape through the neutral zone by themselves, and that's just not working in today's NHL. So, we'll see. Rockford Ice Hogs on Saturday night, or excuse me, on Friday night, this is Wednesday. So Friday night, they just flew down to Oklahoma City tonight after the game this afternoon with the Wolves. They got Oklahoma City on Friday night. Then they bus down to San Antonio. That's not a short bus ride. They bus down to San Antonio for a Saturday game before returning to the BMO for the first time in about 2.5 weeks on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, a 1 o'clock start at the BMO in Rockford. So more afternoon hockey, Superstar.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Superstar. Enjoy that house all to yourself there.
Oh, I will.
Don't start anything on fire.
50-50 on that one.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. As always, we'll do a show, and when I figure out when we're going to do the show, we'll let you know that we're going to do the show. But until then, I don't know when the next show is going to be. Anyway. All right, Superstar, thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.
baby.